I heard him groan, and then his answer came. Son of Laertes, favourite of Zeus, Odysseus of the nimble wits, the malicious decree of some god and too much wine were my undoing. I had lain down to sleep on the roof of Circe's palace, and forgot to go to the long ladder and take the right way down, and so fell headlong from the roof. My neck was broken, and my soul came down to Hades. And now I beseech you, by all the absent friends we left behind, by your wife, by the father who looked after you as a child, and by Telemachus, your only son, whom you left at home, since I know for certain that when you leave this kingdom of the dead, you will put in with your good ship at the Isle of Aeir, Circe's Isle. I beg you, master, to remember me then, and not to sail away and forsake me utterly, nor leave me there unburied and unwept, in case I bring down the gods' curse on you. To burn my body there with all the arms I possess, and raise a mound for me on the shore of the great sea, in memory of an unlucky man, so that men yet unborn may learn my story. Do this for me, and on my barrow carve the oar I used to pull when I was alive, and with my comrades. To which I answered, all this, my poor Elpenor, I will do, nothing shall be forgotten. Thus we sat facing each other across the trench, exchanging joyless words, I on the one side, with my sword stretched out above the blood, and on the other the ghost of my comrade pouring out his tale. Next came the soul of my dead mother, Anticlea, the daughter of the great Autolycus, who has still been alive when I left her and sailed to sacred Ilium. My eyes filled with tears when I saw her there, and I was stirred to compassion. Yet deeply moved though I was, I would not allow for her to approach the blood first, before I had pressed in Tiresias. And the spirit of the Theban prophet now came up, with the gold scepter in his hand, saw who I was, and addressed me. Favourite of Zeus, son of Laertes, Odysseus of the nimble wits, what has brought you, the man of misfortune, to forsake the sunlight and to visit the dead in this joyless place? Step back now from the trench and hold your keen sword aside, so that I can drink the blood and prophesy the truth to you. I drew back, sheathing my silver-studded sword in its scabbard. And when the illustrious prophet had drunk the dark blood, he uttered these words. My lord Odysseus, do you seek a happy way home? For I cannot think that you will escape the attention of the Earth-seeker, who still nurses resentment against you in his heart, and raised that you blinded his beloved son. Even so, you and your friends may yet reach Ithaca, though not without suffering, if only you have the strength of will to control your men's appetites and your own for the moment when your good ship leaves the deep blue sea and approaches the Isle of Thrinacia. There you will find at their pasture the cattle and the fat flocks of the sun god, whose eyes and ears miss nothing in the world. If you leave them untouched and fix your mind on returning home, there is some chance that all of you may yet reach Ithaca, though not without suffering. But if you hurt them, then I predict that your ship and company will be destroyed, and if you yourself contrive to escape, you will reach home late in a wretched state upon a foreign ship, having lost all your comrades. You will find trouble too in your house, insolent men eating up your livelihood, courting your royal wife and offering wedding gifts. It is true that you will take revenge on these men for their misdeeds when you reach home, but when you have killed these suitors in your palace, by stratagem or in straight fight with a naked sword, you must set out once more. Take a well-cut oar and go on till you reach a people who know nothing of the sea and never use salt with their food. Crimson-painted ships and the long oars that serve those ships as wings are quite beyond their experience. And this will be your sign, a very clear one which you cannot miss. When you fall in with some other traveller who refers to the object you are carrying on your shoulder as a winnowing fan, then plant your shapely oar in the earth and offer Lord Poseidon the rich sacrifice of a ram, a bull and a breeding boar. Then go back home and make ceremonial offerings to the immortal gods who live in the broad heavens, to all of them this time in due precedence.